Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Elhamdülillah. Elhamdülillahi nestaînuhu ve nestağfiruhu. Ve na'ûzu billahi min şurûri enfüsinâ ve min seyyiâti a'mâlinâ. Men yehdihillâhu fela mudille lehu ve men yudlil fela hâdiye lehu. Ve neşhedü en lâ ilâhe illallah vahdehu lâ şerîke lehu. ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني سبحان الله ومعنا من المشركين قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أيها الناس قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحون أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected علماء اكرام, brothers in Islam, Allah سبحانه وتعالى has blessed us with Islam. Allah رب العزت has given us iman. Allah in His mercy has given us a shariat, an easy shariat to follow. Respected elders, what I would like to transmit to you or narrate to you today is what Hazrat Hakimul Ummat Maulana Muhammad Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he, one of his speeches and sermons that he delivered in one of the istimas. Respected elders, Qari Sahib was an expert in philosophy and presentation of Islam in such a manner that any person having an open mind would accept what he says. His opening statement is that ye alam alam-e azdad hai. Respected elders, that this world is the world of opposites. The first principle he brings in, that this world is the world of opposites. Meaning that if you look at everything around us, then you'll find an opposite. If there is a male, then there is a female. If there is light, there is darkness. If there is day, there is night. If there is negative, then there is positive. If there is anti-clock movement, there is clockwise movement. Respected elders, there is truth on one side, there is falsehood on the other side. There is haq on one side, there is batil on one side. There is Islam on one side, there is kufr on one side. There is shirk, ascribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on one side. There is pure tawheed, belief in the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on one side. There is bidat, innovation on one side. There is sunnat on one side, adherence to the way of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So everything that we see around us has got opposites. And the second principle he goes on to explain, that for good to become prevalent, for good qualities to become prevalent, an effort and sacrifice is required. And for bad qualities to come into existence, then no effort and no sacrifice is required. He goes on to give various examples, which inshallah I'll present before you also. He says that if you have got a garden and you would like your garden to be beautiful, to be good looking, that when you look at your garden you feel happy, and when you look at your garden you feel fresh, and when you look at your garden then a sense of joy comes into you. And when you look at your garden, it is not eyesore. Then you will have to employ someone, or you yourself will have to go down and work in your garden, on your garden. You will have to trim, you will have to cut, you will have to mow the lawn, you will have to nurse the trees, you will have to water that garden regularly, you will have to put fertilizer regularly, you will have to ensure that no insects eat up your flowers, you will have to tend to your trees, your plants. You have to care for that garden. You have to nurse that garden. You have to look after that garden. Then you will get some results that you feel happy when you look at that garden. After some sacrifice, after some effort, after some time spent on that garden, then you will be able to see that that garden is to your desire, is to your pleasure, and it's making you feel happy when you see it. And, respected elders, that if you do not want to have a good garden, then you do not have to employ someone. You do not have to work in that garden. You just have to leave it. You do not have to tend to it. You just have to avoid it. Then, within a few weeks, you will see that garden becoming ugly. It will become an eyesore. There will be weeds all around. The trees will be going in the wrong direction. The flowers will not be blossoming. The fruits will not be blossoming. The grass will be growing everywhere and anywhere. Insects will be taking advantage over the place. And it will become an ugly sight. For this ugly sight to come into existence, for this ugly sight to come into prevalence, no effort has been required. Nothing has been required. You just have to leave it, and that is your result. But for a good garden, all effort and sacrifice has to be done. He goes on to say that if a person, he wants to become cultured and he wants to become civilized and he wants to have some mannerism in him, then he will have to learn. He'll have to sit by an ustad. He'll have to sit by a teacher. He'll have to go to some institute. He'll have to learn the laws of mannerism. He'll have to become schooled in culture. Then he can say that I am civilized. He'll have to go under the care of his parents, who will teach him how to behave, how to react, and he'll develop some personality. He'll have to follow and be disciplined. He'll have to adhere to some rules and regulations. Then he will become mannered and cultured. Then he will learn how to talk. Then he will learn how to walk. Then he will learn how to smile. Then he will learn how to mix with people so that there will be no ill feelings. To become a cultured person, to become a civilized person, and here I would like to stress one thing, that civilization or culture is Islamic culture. The culture of the West, the civilization of the West is no civilization in our eyes. That is closer to animalism. Respected elders, culture of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, manners of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we adhere to that, then we will be classified as culture. To become cultured and mannered, some effort is required, some sacrifice is required, some time is required. But if a person does not want to become cultured, then he does not have to learn anything. He does not have to get schooled in anything. He does not require discipline. You just leave him. You just allow him to do what he wants without any reins attached, without any laws governing his life. Then he becomes like an animal, and without any effort, he becomes uncultured. He becomes unmanaged, non-civilized. Respected elders, similarly in your own home, that if you like a beautiful house, and for this to come into existence, you'll have to spend some time, you'll have to spend some money, you'll have to supervise the craftsmen, you'll have to supervise the activities, that the carpet must be like this, that the color of the carpet must be this, that the wall must be like this, and this must be on the wall, that the light fitting must be like this, that this type of a fan must be there, then you will be able to get a room that pleases your eye. Then when you walk in that room, then you know that this room I like because I have personally supervised it. I put my time behind it. I put my effort behind it. I have sacrificed all these things and now I've got a beautiful looking room. But if you do not want a beautiful looking room, then just leave it. Within no time, then you will have your carpet stored. You will have it filthy. You will have it dirty. You will have it messed up. Without any effort, without any sacrifice, you can spoil it. So that's the second point. First point, that this world is a world of opposites. Second point, that in order for good to come into existence, you have to have some sacrifice of effort, time and money behind. And thirdly, respected elders, that a person is judged by his internal qualities, not by his external attributes. Understand that. That a person, he's an alim, he's a knowledgeable person, he gets respect for that. And the same person, he's the imam. Now he's got a second quality, he gets more respect for that. And the same person, he is the qazi of that area, or he is the judge of the area, or he is the mufti of that area, he will get more respect. So as his qualities are increasing, then inshallah his respect and dignity will increase. These are internal qualities. And if a person, he is the same person, he is an alim, he is an imam, and he is a mufti or a qazi, and he is the father of someone, that person will have to respect him for that also. Karisab goes on to relate an incident. He says that Aristotle was a philosopher and he was also a hakim, a person making, diagnosing problems, medical problems and treating via herbs. So once he was looking for herbs in the jungle, and because he was doing this for a long period of time, he fell asleep. When he fell asleep, the king of that time came by. And when the king of that time came by, he came by with his entourage. And he came by shouting that, "Move out of the way, move out of the way, the king is coming, the king is coming." And Aristotle was sleeping. So when he could not move out of the way, the king whipped him. So when the king whipped him, he got up. And when he got up in a rage, he was angry. And he said that, "What right have you got to remove me from this way?" So the king told him that, "Don't you know who I am?" So Aristotle told him that, "As far as I am concerned, you are like one of the jungle wild beasts." So the king told him, "Don't you know I am the king of the place?" He said, "Don't you see that I have got the entourage in front of me? Don't you see what good clothing I wear? And I have got a magnificent palace, and I have got a studded pearled seat and throne that I sit on, and I have got a studded a crown that I wear, and I've got so many horses and so many people under me." So he told him, Aristotle told him, that all that you have mentioned is all external qualities. What have you got inside you? What have you got inside you that you can say that I've got something inside? All that you have got, the mansion and the palace, that is external. The crown, that is external. The clothing and the robes, that is external. The entourage, that is external. Your wealth, that is external. Everything that you have mentioned to me are all external qualities. Inside you, what have you got?" And then he went on to tell him that, "Why don't you come down from your horse and wear simple clothing and let us dive into the ocean and see who survives?" Telling him, in another word, metaphorically, that why don't you and I dress up simply and go out in the world and see who survives in the world. But in the world, the respected elders, the man with internal qualities, the man who has got qualities which are not external, he is able to survive comfortably. The respected elders, internal qualities are those qualities that make a man a man. External temporary qualities are fleeting in nature. They are here today, they are not here tomorrow, they go away. And Maulana Rum, in the Masnavi, that is how quotes Maulana Rum, and the passage means that externally, if you look externally, respected elders, he says that Abu Jahl and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they look externally alike. What he means by this? That Abu Jahl should use his eyes and look, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should use his eyes and look, and Abu Jahl should use his hands and hold, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should use his hand and hold. But what's the difference? The difference is that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his akhlaq, Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha says that his akhlaq was the Quran Kareem. The akhlaq made the difference. The character made the difference. The personality made the difference. Respected elders, to such an extent that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the most beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Abu Jahl is the Firaun of my age. He's the Firaun of my age. Respected elders, because he was stuffed up with pride and he was full of pride. So the third principle which he expresses, that internal quality, that osaf e batina, that is the mayar, that is the criterion to judge a person whether he is good or bad. Respected elders, Darishab goes on to explain that in order for good qualities to come into a person, Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi explained four methods. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi in Ihya'ul Ulumuddin, he explains four methods in order for a person to reform himself. In order a person, he becomes cultured, he becomes mannered, and he earns the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be merciful to him. Four qualities or four methods how a person can reform himself. The first method is that he has near him a sheikh, a kamil. He has near him a spiritual mentor, a good, perfect spiritual mentor. Or he has near him an alim to guide him on the sharia. An alim who tells him that this is right or this is wrong. And he is all the time admonishing him that do this, do not do that. Abstain from this, the do's and don'ts of life, the laws of sharia, the rules of Islam, he keeps on explaining to the person. The person will keep on listening and reforming himself, changing himself, modifying his life according to sharia via the advices of the alim. Goes on to explain that Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala majmain, they had the best spiritual mentor, none other than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best teacher that came onto the earth, Sahaba were the best pupils and the best disciples. To explain this is very easy. That one person is standing under the sun, direct rays of the sun. Now this person who is standing under the direct rays of the sun, he will feel all the heat. He will feel comfortable. He will feel at ease. He will not feel cold. He will be able to draw maximum benefit from the rays of the sun, because they are directly coming on him. He does not require a coat, an overcoat. He does not require any heating blanket. He does not require heaters or underfells, nothing. He does not require any artificial heat. Nothing he requires. Why? Because he is under the direct heat of the sun. Another person, if he is in a dark corner, then he requires all forms of artificial heat to keep him warm. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were getting the direct heat from Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was generating spiritual dynamism onto them. And that is why, respected elders, that Sahaba Ikram, the lowest of Sahabi, is higher than the highest of saints. Understand what I'm saying? That the highest of awliya saints cannot equal the lowest of sahabi, because sahabi is the one who saw Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the state of iman and passed away in the state of iman. He witnessed Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's presence, and he was in the era of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how fortunate is that person who saw Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you imagine that? That looking at the best of creation, looking at the best what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down, looking at the best of Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, looking at the best Nabi, looking at the Nabi that has got the best kitab and the best sharia and the best ummah. So the person who looks at that, definitely his status is spiritually elevated. That is why Mawlana Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi writes, and Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi quoted in Shariat and Tasawwuf, the first chapter, that a person in the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who accepted iman and saw Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, within minutes, sitting in the presence of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he surpasses the stages of ihsan. And a wali is that person who has got the quality of ihsan, meaning that he does every action fully well knowing that Allah is watching. Allah is watching me in every action. So respected elders, so one method of reformation is that when there is an alim present and we are attached to that alim, we are contacted to that alim, and he keeps on admonishing a person, advising a person, and the person heeds those advices and reforms. Karisab goes on to say one very beautiful statement. He says that every sahabi is a miracle of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every sahabi is a miracle of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Respected elders, think about that statement. Second method, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that if a person cannot find an alim, if a person cannot find a sheikh, a kamil, if a person cannot find someone to admonish him, who is knowledgeable, to admonish him what is good and bad, halal and haram, then he must get a friend. He must get a friend or friend. And these, the friend, must admonish him all the time, and they must admonish each other that you are doing this is wrong. This is not according to Sharia. Allah does not like this. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not like this. Sharia does not want this. Sharia wants this. So if they mutually admonish each other, advise each other, enjoin what is good, forbid what is evil, together, then inshallah they will be able to spiritually progress. Qarisam goes on to explain one hadith. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that if a person passes by one who is selling fragrance, musk, then when he enters that shop, even if he does not buy, then that fragrance would come upon him. That is good company. Even if you do not benefit directly from good company, you will benefit indirectly from good company. On the other hand, a blacksmith who is always hitting that iron and the sparks are flying out, you pass that blacksmith, then your clothing are going to, the sparks are going to catch your clothing and get onto your clothing. That is bad company. That even directly, if you're not affected by the bad company, then the sparks indirectly of bad company are going to eventually influence you and get hold of you. Respected elders, today is holiday, that's why I will take a little bit, 5 or 10 minutes extra. You do not mind. Respected elders, Karisam goes on to explain that there are three types of friends. Three types of friends. One is the Dastakhani friend, and one is Zabani friend, and one is Hakiki friend. Now, Dastakhani friend, Dastakhani dost, is as long as you give him dawah to eat, he's there. As long as you are wealthy, he is there to share your wealth. As long as you have got some money in your pocket, then he is there with you. As long as you are in a good wicket, or a good wicket, he is there with you. As long as you are able to provide him amenities, he is there. As long as you are there to provide him fringe benefits, you are there. As long as you are there, you are able to provide him so that he can keep his stomach full, he is there with you. But no sooner that your tablecloth is folded, and no sooner if you get bankrupt, and no sooner if wealth goes away from you, and no sooner if you are coming to dire straits, and no sooner if you are running into difficulties, then that friend is no more with you. He's gone. He was there for benefit. He was there for privileges. He was there for all these things. He was not there as your real friend. That is one friend. Second one is a verbal friend. Now I'm with you. I'll stand with you under all difficulties. Under any difficulty, I'll be with you. With the stormy waters, I'll be with you. I'll do this for you, and I'll do this for you. But when he comes to the action of doing, he's gone. He's no more there. Goes on to narrate what story, that a person came to the king's court, and he narrated, recited many poems in praising the king, that you are like this, and you are like this. So the king got very happy, and told him, you know what, 3 days' time I will give you 2,000 ashrafiyah, 2,000 gold coins. 3 days' time I'll give you that. So this poet got very happy and went away home. Now he's excited that, you know, 3 days' time I'm going to get 2,000 gold coins. So after one day, he got himself into 500 gold coin debt. He went and purchased something and started having a festival, etc. Why? Because 2,000 is coming, you see. So when he went after a few days to the king's court again and told him that, yeah, I'm here, greeted him once, the king does not greet him back. Greeted him twice, the king does not greet him. Greeted him again, the king greeted him. He said, yo, you know, king, I'm here. The other day I praised you. You promised 2,000 ashrafiyah, 2,000 gold coins. I'm here for that. So the king told him, you see, you verbally praised me. That's why I verbally also promised you. You see? Because yours was not from the heart. So also mine is not from the heart. So we are parallel, we are same, you see. So Charitam relates a third type of a person. The dost-e haqiqi, the real friend, the true friend. And respected elders, recognize your true friend. Recognize your friend from the fold. Recognize who is your well-wisher. Recognize who will take you to Jannah. That is your well-wisher. Not the person who will flatter you and praise you and will sanction your wrongdoing. And when you are doing something evil, will say, yeah, carry on. No, that is not your friend. Because that one is taking you to Jahannam. The friend, my respected elder, is one who is admonishing you. And sometimes you will feel hurt about it. That he keeps on telling me that do this and it's hurting me. Remember that al-haqqu murrun, the truth is bitter. And the one who keeps on telling you and admonishing you and advising you and you feel hurt about it and then you want to change, remember that that friend is a good friend. Not the one who is putting you into the ditch and who is putting salt in your wounds and who is giving you capsules to drink and which are in fact very bitter, but they are wrong. Respected elders, the person who is telling you that follow the Sharia, follow the Sunnah, strive in the path of Allah, fill the masjid, do not indulge in incest, do not indulge in overdraft, do not gamble, do not go and do the wrong things, stop adultery and fornication, those are your friends. But those that are threatening you and those that are putting butter on you, they are motivated. Respected elders, Karizam goes on to say, Imam Ghazali Rahimahullah says, that if a person does not have a sheikh kabil, a alim to admonish him, a person who does not have a friend to admonish him, then the third method he must use. And what is the third method? That he must keep his ears open what his enemies say about him. Those people who do not like him, what they say about him. And Karizam says, in this age, it is very hard not to find the enemy. It is very hard not to find someone who does not like you. So what we should do, we should be positive that someone who does not like you, see what he says. And an enemy, when he says and he criticizes you, then do not be upset about it. Do not feel hurt about it. But look at it in this light, positive light, that is he saying truth? Yes, definitely. If it is in me, then I must reform, then I must change. Not that everybody saying anything, fold the sleeves. No, that is not the policy of Islam. Anybody saying anything against you, first of all, find out whether he is saying it. Secondly, that find out whether this statement is true or not. If it is true, then we must change. So look for your enemy and look at the admonitions and the criticisms.
The criticism, in fact, are suggestions. The criticisms are, in fact, suggestions for reformation for us.
Fourthly, if you do not find an ally, if you do not find a friend, and if you do not find an enemy, and if a person says, no, I am staying in the mountains, I am staying in some rural area, there is no alim there, there is no friend there to admonish me, there is not even an enemy to admonish me, then what the person must do to spiritually reform himself? What must he do?
Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi says that he must make muhasabah. Muhasabah means that before retiring to bed, he must sit down and for 10 to 15 minutes, he must contemplate on what has transpired for the whole day. What has happened for the whole day? What did I say? Who did I hurt? Was my behavior good today? Have I transacted in the proper manner? Did I follow the Sharia? Have I adopted the Sunnah? Have I pleased Allah? Have I displeased Allah? Am I fit to stand before Allah? Am I fit to stand before Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Can I go in the grave now? What happens if death overtakes me? Will I be able to face Munkir al-Nakir?
وآخر دعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين.